Father, we do thank you so much for the work and the price that Jesus was willing to pay for us, to be completely freed of the tyranny and the slavery of sin. Lord, that you would willingly send your Son and that he would willingly lay down his life for us. Teach us what it means to lay down our lives for you, Lord. Not out of obligation, but out of joy, the same way you did for us. The scripture says, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross and despised its shame. And Lord, we just want to just take this moment to reflect. You're not asking us to live a life free from sin because you are hard, but because you know that the best life is a life free from sin. And it's the way for us to truly live the way we're created to live. So Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to just ponder, what am I allowing in my life that is just taking the place of a God so good that he would lay down his only Son's life for me? Lord, we just want to be willing to let go of things so that we can embrace all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. That cross beam is pretty amazing. There's something about visuals, isn't it? And Jesus calling us, come and follow me. You know, everything God does, he does from a position of love. And that's really what he's calling us to do. You notice in Galatians, when it talks about the differences between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh are always, the flesh just acting out. So like anger, adultery, fornication, rage, jealousy, envy, all these things. But then the fruit of the Spirit, which is showing the characteristics of the nature of our God, is always things like love, joy, peace. So how do we know whether our flesh is talking to us or whether the Spirit of God is talking to us? We can kind of judge it by that thing. Is what I'm listening to or feeding on right now, is it making me feel angry or jealous? Am I feeling lustful? Because that's whatever that thing is, actually feeding my flesh. Or is this bringing me into life? Is this making me think about how to love people more, how to be more patient and kind and caring and that kind of thing? So when we have those things, that's why I love the scripture. It always helps us to have clarity. And the fruit of the Spirit is what's going to be the identifier for us. So this is where I want to grow. And the works of the flesh, always self-centered, what's in it for me? Can't believe they did that to me. You know what amazed me? I was thinking about this last week. Was that, and you know, Pete has just very graphically described a crucifixion to us. But what amazed me about that was the moment that Jesus, in all of this excruciating pain, says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm like, I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, I'm not feeling benevolent. I am like focused on, make it stop. And he, going through all that, was not focused on himself at all, but focused on us and providing forgiveness for us. That just, you know, we really have an amazing God. I've been to many different nations, and I have found there is no God like our God. The idols that other people worship, the gods that they worship, they're harsh, they're mean, they're angry, they're demanding. They don't give, but our God gave before he ever received anything from us. Our God is so amazing, and he's calling us into a life of freedom with him. Freedom from sin, freedom from selfishness, from all of those things. We have the blood of Jesus to set us free. So good. I want to talk to you this morning about being anxious for nothing. And so I promise I'm going to make this super quick, because you've already sat through a really amazing and challenging message. Be anxious for nothing. So if you have your Bibles, can you turn to the book of Philippians, which is in the New Testament, and Philippians chapter 4. And some of you will know this verse, and others may be going to hear it for the first time, but it's one of my favorites. I absolutely love it. And we're going to start in verse 6. So if you're there, Philippians chapter 4, going to start in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Now, again, if we're talking about crucifying the flesh, how many know that the flesh loves to worry and be anxious and be concerned about things and try and figure it out, all right? But God has been showing me through big things and little things that there is absolutely nothing that I have to worry about if I will surrender my cares to him and follow his lead. I don't have to be anxious for anything. I can actually give it all over. I'm going to bring this a bit more around into another point, talking about the seeds and the things we've been sowing in just a minute. But I just want to share something with you. Actually, Peter already read this scripture, but I just want to highlight it again. In Galatians 6:6-10, there's a verse that says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you'll of the spirit reap life." Okay? So don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, in whichever direction, that's how you're going to reap. Well, it's the same with anxiety, okay? And worry, stress, fear. If we keep sowing to those things by allowing our thoughts to meditate on that all the time, we are going to reap the rewards of worry. And what are some of the rewards of worry? Sleeplessness or restless sleep, usually a churned up stomach, a disturbed mind, no clarity, working harder and harder but still feeling like you're never getting ahead, wearing yourself out, feeling stress levels rising and then maybe blood pressure rising. There's all this stuff that none of us actually want. But there is a way to live completely differently, and you can sow to the spirit. And the opposite of anxiety and fear is trust and faith. So really, this is what God sort of began to show me. Fear is actually you putting your trust in yourself or the enemy. And faith is you putting your trust in God and what he has said. So we want to trust him. Now, he has been showing me that I legitimately don't need to worry about anything. So I want to tell you a really cool story. So on Thursday, I clean with Carolyn at the Granite Belt Support Services. It's a big building, upstairs and downstairs. And I'd had a message come through from them that the floor cleaner we were using was fine everywhere else, but just one toilet, there's a different tile in there to the rest of the building. And it was sort of feeling a bit sticky once it was dry. And they said, "Oh, do you have any suggestions?" And I said, "Oh, well, we'll just try a different product." But Carolyn starts there before me and always fills up the mop buckets. And I forgot to tell her, "Don't use that floor cleaner and the toilet bucket. Like, we need to experiment and try to find something different." Anyway, I started stressing and I was like, oh Lord, I forgot to tell Carolyn, and now I'm going to have to rewash the floors and empty the bucket and oh, why didn't I remember? And he just said, be anxious for nothing. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. If we have to mop it again, we have to mop it again. I'm not going to worry about it. And I come in, I greet her, I say hello, and then she says to me, oh, by the way, Nina, we ran out of floor cleaner. And I didn't have enough for the toilet one, so I had to use a different product. It's like, wow, I mean, I was blown away. That is a product in a mop bucket. But I didn't even have to worry about that, right? God is so incredible. He is saying, you can trust me to the point you literally don't have to worry about anything. So some of you today, you need to crucify the flesh in this area. Of fear and anxiety and worry. Maybe for you it's shame. Maybe it's something else. But I want you to leave here free today. What are we sowing into in our own lives? So what things are we sowing into ourselves through our eye gate and our ear gate? What are we listening to? How many of you absolutely can't wait to hang out with negative people? Where are all the hands? Right? How many of you love being around positive people who are like, hey, it's going to work. God's for you, not against you, right? But sometimes, what do we sow into ourselves? Are we sowing negativity into ourselves? Or are we feasting on the word of God and allowing him to help us understand that all things are possible with him? Everything is possible with him. We're going to go very quickly to Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Many of you will know this passage as well. I'm just refreshing us in some of these truths, and hopefully they land in our spirit today. So Matthew 6, this is out of the famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke, and he's talking to us about our worries. And it's a lot more in depth, but I'm just going to jump to 31, where Jesus says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So he says, we can live a completely different life. And here is the fun challenge that I've found. I am making my life focused on this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
Now, those two things I'm going to unpack super fast. I'm not going to take long. But I want to start with the second one first. His righteousness. Okay? Pete said it before. There's no condemnation when you're in Christ. What often happens, though, is that we get inspired by something. That I want to be better in this area of my life. And we can try our very best to change in that area. I want to see a show of hands. Who's ever had something they've spotted in their life that they're not impressed with and they try and change it and it actually gets worse than better? Anyone? Oh, I'm in good company. It's like, tomorrow I'm not going to hit snooze on my alarm, you know? And then tomorrow comes and I'm like, Jesus, forgive me, snooze. I'm getting up 5 minutes later. Oh, man. Like, we have these goals. Like, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. And then it's like, make that 3 times a month. Make that 3 times a year. Make that every 3 years. You know what? We have these goals. We really, really want to do these things that we know are good for us. But like Pete said earlier, there's that battle. He was reading about Paul explaining. There's this battle. So if we're seeking just righteousness and not his righteousness, we will be in an endless, frustrating battle with ourselves. We will constantly be like, I want to do good things. Oh, I just ran my mouth again. Or I want to do this. Oh, I just failed again. And you know what eventually happens? It's like when I was in high school, one of my friends told me one day, I've decided I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. And I was devastated. I said, why would you say that? She said, I'm not like you. I just can't be good enough. And I thought, well, she obviously doesn't know me very well. Because I have just as many struggles as anyone, right? Being a Christian has nothing to do with being good enough. It's actually His righteousness that is the gift to us. And so when you're seeking His righteousness, oh, I was picturing this. So have I got any teenagers left in the room? Yes. Who can I pick on? Bonnie. Are you a bit techie? Are you good with tech? Sort of? You're probably better than me, so come up here. Gotta love our young people. All right. So let's say Bonnie has said she will assist me for the day because I want to learn how to work this thing called a device. Right? Okay. So she's going to help me. But imagine if she's standing there patiently ready to help me all day and I go, I can't figure out how to turn it on. What have I got to do again? It's this button. Maybe it's that button. Password. What's my password? Where do I put that? I remember. It's all right. I remember how to open it. How do I search? I don't know how to search. I really wish I could figure out how to search. It's really frustrating. I can't figure out how to use my phone. Do you feel frustrated? Would you like to She wants to help me. Do you know what? When we're trying to do everything to please God in our own strength, He would really like to help us. We've just got to actually ask. Can you show me how to search, please? Thank you. Do you know, that's what my kids have to do for me on a regular basis. That's amazing. Thank you. You can have a seat. All right. So apparently I just swipe from the middle and it brings up my search bar. But we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is with us every moment of the day. And we can stress or we can turn to Him and say, well, how can I do this? Or can I please have the strength and ability to do this? He wants to give you His supernatural strength and ability to do what you could never do on your own. He wants to empower you. He wants to fill you. But you need to choose what you're sowing into your life. What gets sown into your life? Are you going to sow listening to the Lord, or are you going to be listening to the world, listening to the news, listening to fears? You know, the Lord challenged me many years ago, early in our marriage. We had been watching a TV series together that was like a crime-based thing, and there was always a lot of action and fear and the dun-dun-dun music in the background. And I always talk to the people, you know, actually I don't do very well with those shows because if anybody dies, I'm like, they didn't know Jesus, and I start crying. And my husband says, you know it's fiction, right? But anyway, but here's the point. The Lord challenged me and said, Anita, if you have a crisis tomorrow, you've been feeding yourself on fear and you're not going to have any faith to stand in the day that's a wicked and evil day. And I made a decision that I wouldn't feast on violent shows anymore because our subconscious doesn't recognize whether that's real or not real. So what have I got to draw on in the time of calamity? Fear. And I don't want that. So if I put instead the word of God and then I have calamity, I can stand in the midst of the storm and be unshaken and say, well, you know what? That whirlwind might be going to take out everyone else's house, but mine's going to still be standing. I'm not going to be afraid. I had an opportunity to fear last Sunday afternoon. because there was a dead red-bellied black snake at my side door, gift of one of my cats. And but the same cat that brought the gift, his paw started swelling, and he had like something there that was felt to me like it could be a bite. And his paw started swelling twice the size, right up into his like, you know, armpit, you call it a cat paw pit, I don't know. Anyway, right up the whole paw. And I just had this fear try and hit me. You know, I love this cat and I did not want to lose it. So I went out in the garage and I just began to pray. And I begin to say God's promises. In Deuteronomy 28, God tells me that everything I have is blessed. That includes my pets. And then as I was declaring what God had said and allowing those words to come into my ears, come into my heart, I looked out the window and I saw the rain clouds. And I said, devil, see that out there? Have a look out that window. See those clouds? They're put there by the prayers of God's people. Because it wasn't on anyone's radar, but there was supernatural rain. And I said, the same God who put the clouds in the heavens to break a drought is the same God that's going to cause any toxin or poison in my cat to absolutely just have no effect. And I left that garage full of faith. And I saw my cat get better and better. And till a day later, he was running around like nothing had ever happened. Because I'm choosing to sow faith into my life. What about when it comes to our finances? Are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to sow our physical money into the kingdom of God, seeking him first? Or are we going to be fear-based in our approach to our finances? If you let go, God will do more for you than you could ever dream of doing for yourself. It is a matter of trust. What are we going to sow into? I'm going to finish with this passage in Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. So if you want to quickly go over there, kind of head to around the middle of the Bible, Isaiah 55. And this is, again, so many passages just mean so much to me. In these scriptures, but this one has always been very special. So it says this: for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So God's word, just like the rain coming down, it doesn't go back up without first watering the earth, bringing forth the produce. That's how his word is. His word will come into our heart if we let it. It will land there. And as Pete read earlier, if we've got soil in our heart that's open to receive his word, then we're going to have his word produce exactly what it said in our lives. And we can trust the seed of God's word, because the scripture says that this is incorruptible seed. So that means, like, when I think about a seed in the natural, it could get eaten by birds, it could get devoured by caterpillars, you know, it could be consumed. But this word, it's incorruptible. It's a seed that if you plant it in good soil, 100% of the time, it will always work. It will always grow. It will never, ever, ever fail. What are we planting in our lives? Because if we plant trust and faith in an almighty God, in his righteousness and his righteousness alone, we are going to have a life so full that we're going to begin to see things again like what was described in the book of Acts. You know, Peter and John were so full of Jesus, so full of him. Their attention had been so captivated by Jesus that when Peter would walk down the street and his shadow would fall on the sick, they would be healed. We can have a life that is so much bigger than the life of flesh. We can live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, sow to the Spirit, and reap everlasting life. Amazing. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning as we wrap this up. So on Resurrection Sunday, not the one just passed, but one many years ago, in 1987. Man, that just made me feel old saying that. Anyway, that was the day that I chose to acknowledge what Jesus did for me. You know, we talked about it. He demonstrated what a cross beam would look like. And I've heard all my life how Jesus died on a cross for the sins of the world. But that day, everything shifted. Because it was like, wait, actually Jesus did that for me. I can't even imagine the level of dread that would settle on someone when they were in a courtroom and the judge said, or like Pilate or Herod or whoever it was in that day, and they said, you will be crucified for your crimes. Can you imagine the dread that must sink into the body, like knowing what's ahead of them? And imagine Barabbas, right? He's supposed to be crucified. And they say, release him and crucify Jesus instead. Imagine that feeling. One moment you're absolutely certain that you're about to face the worst pain you've ever known in your life. And the next minute you're watching Jesus carry the crossbeam in your place. That's kind of what happened to me when I was 7 years old. It just like became so personal. He took my place. My place. He did that for me. Ah, said Jesus. I had tears streaming down my face. I said, Jesus, if you would give your life for me, I want to give my life for you. And I want to give the same invitation today to each one in this room. You have a Savior that thought you were worth it. That having those nails driven through his hands, being hoisted up into the air, being stripped bare, being humiliated, he thought you were worth all of that because he loves you. That's the kind of God we have. So if you would just close your eyes so you can just focus, not on the people around you, but on what I'm saying right now. If you say in your heart, Anita, I want to receive what Jesus did for me. He paid a huge price to take my place so I could be forgiven, so I could become a child of God, so I could have eternal life. I want to receive what he did for me today. I just want you to raise your hand where I can see it. Anita, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to change me, cleanse me, forgive me, take away my shame and guilt and pain. Are there any other hands today? Anita, count me in. Today is the day that I surrender my life to Christ. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. The scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believe. So if you want to make that commitment today, why don't you say this after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dying in my place. Wash me of my sins. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Make me your child. I want to belong to you. I want to receive all that you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just pray for each and every one of you now as we finish out the morning. Father, I thank you for your sons and your daughters here in this room. those watching online, those watching the recording later, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessings that you shower upon us each day. I thank you that we don't have to worry about anything. We can give everything over to you. Lord, help us to trust you with our finances. Help us to trust you with our future. Help us to trust you with our work. Help us to trust you when we feel overwhelmed, to turn to you, just like I turned to Bonnie and asked her how to search in my phone, Lord. You want us to turn to you so you can direct our every step. You can be the helper that you want to be to us. God, we just repent today where we have sowed the wrong seeds, where we've pushed you out, where we've ignored you. God, we're just opening our hearts today to receive your goodness and your love again. God, to choose to reject fear, reject shame, reject sin, and embrace the eternal life that you are offering us, Lord. We thank you for everything you've done. Lord, I pray a special blessing over each one as they go out this week. May they have a week that's fear-free and faith-filled, and seeing miracle after miracle as we have more testimonies next Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So don't forget, She Inspires is starting straight away. So come up if you've got grade 6 or 7 girls, get them involved in that. Tea, coffee, something to eat in the foyer. Wednesday night here. Tomorrow night, prayer meeting. Don't miss it. There's lots going on. Have a great week, everyone.